Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, Simple Secrets That Release Success. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
As a child, I remember growing up and visiting my grandmother's house. She lived in Kentucky, and we would go there in the summer. She had beautiful windows in her house, and in her house, and in those windows, there were shelves, and on the shelves, just little bitty shelves, and on the shelves were all of these glass figurines, beautiful glass pottery that had been painted, and it was dolls and women in ball gowns, and just I just remember it so clearly. I would sit there and I would look at those things in the window for hours, and look is exactly what I did, because touching those things were completely not, it wasn't supposed to happen. I just grew up like that. So I grew up knowing that there were certain things that I was not supposed to touch. And when I raised my children, I tried to raise them along the same lines. I was never one of those mothers who was always trying to childproof my house. Rather, what I would do instead of doing that, I would try to houseproof my children. If you can't do that now, I mean I ain't mad at you. Do what you got to do. Lord, just get them raised. That's all I say today. And I'm not as good as that as I am with my grandchildren as I was with my children, because I seem to let them get by with a whole lot more stuff than I would have ever let my kids get by with. But we traveled a lot, and so we often evangelized, and we were in the homes of people. And I realize now if I can't expect people to put all their stuff up every time we visit their house, so I had to instead of moving stuff out of their reach and out of their sight, I had to move it out of their mind. And I had to make them understand that there are some things that you do not touch. Whew, that's been one of the greatest lessons of my life. I said, that's been one of the greatest lessons of my life. See, now we just touch anything and everything, and we talk and say whatever we want to say about anybody. But I was brought up in the day, the way that I was brought up, we was brought up to keep our mouths shut, especially in the church. You didn't talk about the preacher in the church. You wouldn't say anything for the fear that God would strike you dead. But now we'll sit right in the church and tweet about the preacher, just cutting them all down while they up there preaching, declaring the word of the Lord. There are some things that you're not supposed to touch. And just like there were certain things that as a child that I wasn't supposed to touch, as children, just like now, there are certain things that we are not supposed to touch. There are certain people that are also off limits to the devil. I said there are certain people that are off limits to the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan, our adversary, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour is very important to me, because that suggests to me that if there's some that he may devour, then there are some that he may not devour. There are some that he has no permission to come after and to touch. It suggests to me that there are some people that are out of his reach. And the reason that they are off limits is not because they're so brave or they're so strong or they're so holy or so tenacious or so tough, but it's because of the assignment that is on their lives. See, there are some people that are just vital to the plan of God. There are some people that are vital to the kingdom. There are some people who are material witnesses, and we are under divine protection. We're under a divine governing and divine protection. There are some people who are weighty in the kingdom. They just bear the weight of God. There are some people who are kingpins in the kingdom, if you will. And because of that, there are certain things that God will not allow the enemy to touch you with or to do to them. Look at somebody and tell your neighbor, I am one of them, and the devil can't touch this. Come on, touch yourself and tell your neighbor, the devil can't touch this. one of the biggest, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions that we have in the church today is that whenever God does raise up a vessel, whenever God does anoint a vessel, whenever he uses somebody, we begin to think that the particular person that he is using or has raised up or the person that he has anointed is immortal or is not human like you and I are human. We just have this crazy misconception, and that's exactly what it is, because we think that because God uses them that they don't feel what we feel, or they don't struggle like we struggle, or they don't hurt in areas that we hurt in, and they don't become angry over the things that we become angry over, and they don't have to deal with the stuff that we have to deal with, and they don't go through the things that we have to go through. But I'm telling you, that is a misconception. The very fact that they go through all of those things is the reason that God chose them to begin with, because if they can't be moved by the feelings of your infirmities, then they are disqualified to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. See, it's a misconception. It is not true. It is inaccurate. It is fictitious. It is it's imaginary. But what is true is that it's time for us in the body of Christ to come to a level of maturity, to come to a level of discernment where we can distinguish the difference between the vessel and what is in the vessel. We must remember that when we look at somebody being used by God, or when we see somebody that has been anointed by God, we must remember that what we feel coming from them and what we see coming from them and what we experience while we are in their presence, it is not coming from the vessel. It is coming from what is locked up inside the vessel. So anytime you see God standing up big in the life of a man or in the life of a woman, or in the life of a singer, or in the life of a preacher, anytime you see God standing up tall in their lives, we must never, ever, ever forget that what we are seeing is his strength being made perfect in their weaknesses, because little becomes much when God gets in it. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 6 that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What I want us to understand today is that we are merely lanterns. We are lanterns. And without the oil being poured in the lantern, there is nothing about us that would make us shine. However, a lantern that has oil down in it can dissolve darkness. It can fill the entire room with light. When you have a lantern that has some oil down inside of it, somebody say, Lord, fill me with the oil. Whenever you have a lantern that has oil on the inside of it, that lantern can walk into a chaotic situation and has the power to turn on the light in the spirit realm. That lantern can speak peace to confusion. That lantern that's got the oil in it can look at somebody that is sick and say, in the name of Jesus, take up your bed and walk. When you have oil in your lantern, you don't bring confusion. You bring peace. You bring clarity. You bring insight. You bring instruction. When you have oil in your lantern, you walk differently, and you talk differently, and you sing differently, and you move differently because of the oil that is inside of you. And anytime you see anybody that is shining with the light of God inside of them, it is simply because he hath commanded the light to shine out of them. So if you are affecting darkness in any way that is around you, it is because of him. It is not you. It is not me. It is what is inside of us. That's why worship has got to be vital to our lives. Because when you walk in and you become an answer to somebody's problem, if you're not careful, they'll start praising you. If you're not a worshiper, then you'll let all that praise build up in your head. And you'll start believing that you are really somebody. But when you are a worshiper, I can't tell you how many times I've walked out and said, God, they said you are awesome tonight. They said you are holy tonight. See, it pays to worship him, because then you get all of that stuff out of you, because people will praise you, and it's to your detriment if you listen to them. The vessel in and of itself has no light. And should it run out of oil, it would run out of light. Therefore, a Christian is a person who understands that I have the light, but I am not the light. I said, I have the light, but I am not the light, okay? John said, I am not the light, but I was sent to bear witness of that light. Touch somebody and say, I got it, but I'm not it. Tell somebody else, I got it, but I'm not it. See, and that's important for us to know. Because if we don't know that, then people will be trying to cause us to become their everything. We will be running around trying to be everybody's answer. We'll be trying to be the light for everybody in every situation. And they'll make you feel like you're the one that's got the answer for me. And you'll find yourself weary and broke down and exhausted because you're trying to be everybody's God. Don't let people do that to you. I said, do not let them do that to you. Tell them, listen, I ain't him, but I know him. I know him, but I ain't him. I'm not him, but I know how to get in touch with him. And if the job gets done, it'll be because he did it and not me. I am not him. There is one that is coming after me who is mightier than I. So Paul goes on and he says, but we have this treasure that is in the earthen vessel, so that the excellency of the power will be of God and it will not be of us. We are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Why? Because of what we got in us. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And the reason that Paul can say we're troubled, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, and we're cast down, but we're not in despair, and we're not destroyed, and we're not forsaken, and we're not distressed. The reason he can say that, the reason that Paul can remain calm in the middle of a chaotic situation, is because he understands that there is a difference between the vessel and what the vessel contains. He understands that there is a difference between the vessel and the oil that fills the vessel. He understands that no matter what the vessel itself goes through, God has an investment in us. He has an interest in us. So we may face trouble from time to time, and we may go through stressful situations at times. We may have to endure persecution. We may have to cry sometimes. We may have to hit the bottom sometimes. But when it is all said and done, we will always rise back up to the top, not because of us, but because of what is inside of us. So the next time you face things like you have maybe been facing in the past, you need to let the devil know when he tells you this is going to be the big one, this is the one that's going to take you out. You need to let him know, listen, that stuff don't move me anymore, because I understand it is not what is in me. It's not me, it is what is in me. And if I would have started this work in my life, then I might walk the floor and I might pull my hair out. But since I did not start it, and God is the one that started it, he that hath begun a good work in me, he will be faithful. You gotta let every devil in hell know sometimes that I am not in this by myself. I'm troubled, but I ain't in it by myself. Slap somebody and tell them, I got precious cargo in me. I got something in me. I got oil in me. For we have this treasure. Woo! We have this treasure. So we got to be smart enough to understand that we have the treasure, but we are not the treasure. I said we got to be smart enough to say, I have the treasure, but I am not the treasure. See, the reason that God dropped treasure inside of us, the reason that he put something so valuable and something so precious and something so important and priceless down inside of a clay pot, down inside of a human holding tank, the reason that he put something so priceless inside an earthen vessel is so that the excellency of the power would be of God and it would not be of us. In other words, when God gets ready to demonstrate his power in the earth or in the lives of people in a huge, big, gigantic way and in an excellent way, he does it so that nobody will ever be confused as to, hey, you did that or God did that. When God is in your life, he will do stuff so ridiculous that it will not just impress other people, but it'll have you saying, oh, God. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He has put precious cargo down inside of pathetic pots of just ordinary clay. And I am so glad that he did it that way. I am glad that he didn't wait for us to be perfected before he put some oil down in us. But he tucked in the treasure before I was ever right, before I was ever holy, before I was ever perfected. He tucked it down inside of me. And I'm glad he did it like that, or we would have all been disqualified. But he gave it to us in advance, trusting and believing that we as the clay would submit to him as the potter and allow him to take us through the process that would be necessary for us to become vessels that were fit for the master's use. And if you have a problem with the process, woo, you got a real problem. Because God will never use anybody that he can't take through the process. See, let me tell you something. I don't care how good you can sing, and I don't care how good you can play, and I don't care how good you can preach or how good we can teach or any of that. At the end of the day, we are all just a lump of clay that has got a measure of potential dropped inside of us. That's all we are. We are clay with potential. And the way we maximize that potential is based on the level that we submit to the potter. And we submit to his will. And the first thing the potter does is he throws the clay. Look at your neighbor and ask them, are you willing to be thrown around by God? Ask them, are you willing to be thrown around by leadership? The next thing that leadership does, or the potter does, is that he starts, puts you, after he throws you on the wheel, he starts spinning the wheel. Ask your neighbor, are you okay with going in circles? How many of you ever felt like, Lord, Bishop is putting me in circles. This church is just running me in circles. Seems like I can't ever get any higher. Seems like God won't ever open anything else for me. I'm going in circles. Let me tell you something. If you can submit to the throwing of God, if you can submit to the spinning and the circles, spinning, I mean when things are out of your control. You can't control it. You can't move. You can't go any higher. You can't stop it. It is out of your control. If you can submit to the process, if you can submit to the stretching, if you can submit to the pressing, if you can submit to the pulling, I am telling you, clay comes alive in the hands of a potter. Woo! Clay comes life in the hands of leadership. And if you can hang in there, eventually God will make you into what he saw you to be before the foundation of the world ever began. Everybody wants to be great. Sure, everybody wants to be great. But everybody can't just be great because you want to be great. That ain't gonna make you great. What makes you great is by submitting to the potter. It's by submitting to the process of greatness. We are all a lump of clay with potential. I said we're just a lump of clay with potential. And what happens is the more that we stay on the wheel, even when we're spinning, even when we want to scream, stop the wheel, let me out of here. If you can just stay on the wheel until the potter says you're done, eventually he will press you. See, there is a pressure that produces purpose. I said there is a pressure. There is a pressure that is positive. I said there is a pressure. Sometimes you don't feel like it when you're in the middle of it, but there is a pressure that is positive. And at the end of the day, it will produce the purpose of God in your life. So you got to be willing to submit yourself to the process of greatness if you want to be great. It doesn't matter, I'm telling you today, where you are in the process. If you just got started in the process, if you're in the middle of the process, or if you are three quarters of the way done in the process, this is what I want you to know. You are not in the process by yourself. Because every last one of us in this room today are being processed by the potter so that we can go to where we need to go. And I want you to know that, because sometimes too many people get depressed and they get discouraged and they get disappointed in themselves because they are comparing themselves to other people and the other of the church people. You know, because every church has two or three people who act like they never did anything, they never said anything, they never thought it. I've been submitted to God all of my life. They just act like they've always been perfect. They've always been great. They've always been wonderful. The only drug problem you ever had was you were drugged to church all of your life. And so ever since you got saved, you've been sitting at the dock of the bay, waiting for Jesus to take you away. And that whole persona is deceptive right there. Because even if you didn't do it, don't tell me you didn't think about doing it. Can somebody tell him, you know you thought about it. Don't lie. Don't you lie up in here.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message entitled Simple Secrets That Release Success, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 1-888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.